I'm sure some of you are glad that thing's off today. What happened was someone borrowed it to do a thing for missions and forgot it to bring it back, so we're going to get that back in here. This week I got to go to the TU-UConn game. Great game. Connecticut's not been playing great this year. We got a lot of young guys. But it was a joy to watch Connecticut play and whip the fire out of TU.
You shouldn't have enjoyed that.
Oh, I did. I enjoyed the
no,
fire.
No, you shouldn't have because
TU. No, no, no.
You're throwing stuff on the floor. TU was doing well, and Connecticut's already blown it. So you just ruined TU's chances.
Yes, thank you. And so TU fans in the end got ugly. We got cheated and lost in overtime. This is we've played here six times. This is the first time Connecticut has won in Tulsa. So this was a big deal to win this game, okay? But what happened was the TU fans got a little ugly in the sense of they were doing stuff like this. Go back to the Big East. Because we go back to the Big East next year, which is better for us because the Big East is not having to play in Houston and Tulsa and Cucamonga, whatever. You're Asians, you're not even here. And so at the end of the game, they just got kind of ugly. And I was watching these people, and then all of a sudden, this one guy gets outrageous. And I'm here in my seat, four rows up behind the Connecticut bench. He comes all the way down to here, and he's starting, you guys got no class, you got no class, you got no class. Because the Connecticut people, when they were shouting, go back to the Big East, one of the guys was doing this. And he was waving goodbye. Now, we know in Connecticut, that means we have loved you guys. It's not. We're thankful for all you've done. We're sorry that we have to leave. But this is, a faraway place. So they were. So they left. Well, this guy's screaming at this guy, and he's talking about, you got no class, you got no class. And I look at him, I went, sir, you're screaming at the wind saying there's no class. What do you get out of this?
Hey, you didn't really say that to me, did you?
Yeah.
And
I said, listen, be a good sport. And then he said something derogatory to me, which, because I'm a godly man, I did not answer back much. And so... But it made me stop and say this. When things aren't going your way, it's just easy to scoff at other people. It's easy to scoff. And we've watched the last 2 months of tremendous scoffing going on in our nation. Now, understanding that, listen to the Word of God today. We're in 2 Peter 3. Let me remind you, let me do this fast. Next week's the last week in 2 Peter. We're done with Peter. It's been a nice run. I told you next we're going to go to 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, but not right away. I've decided that what I want to do is I'm going to do a series entitled Remembering Our Faith, or Biblical Stories of Faith. I haven't decided on my title yet. Biblical Stories of Faith. And what I want to do is I want to recap the last 13 years of what we've been teaching. Not the same sermons, but the same principles of how do you walk with God by faith. We're going to look at biblical stories of faith and see how they apply to our lives today. Then, you say, how long will that series be? I have no idea, because I'm kind of scatter shooting right now. I got some ideas, but it could be 10, 12, 11, 34 weeks, depending on how long it goes. But I think it's going to be a good series for us to be able to look at the stories that were real familiar to us in Scripture, yet how do they apply to us today? What's the application again for us today? How do we let God stretch our faith, but how do we let God strengthen our faith? Okay, listen to the Word of God today. Dear friends, this is not my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commands given by the Lord and Savior through the apostles. In other words, I want to remind you of what was said in the Old Testament. Now I want to remind you what's being said in the New Testament. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own what? Evil desires. Now, let me camp there for a second. When we say evil desires, most of us would say, you know, I don't have evil desires like other people have evil desires. But, you know, think about what goes through your mind in a normal week. Think about the junk that goes through your mind in one normal week and how it plants what? Those desires that stimulate my flesh that draw me away from God instead of drawing me closer to God. We're going to see this in a little while, but there's that struggle that we have in our minds of who's going to be in charge of my mind. Is it going to be God, or is it going to be me, or is it going to be the enemy? Evil desires, watch this, we all have them. We all have them. Now, they will say, where is the coming he promised? For since our father died, everything goes on as it had from the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forgot long ago by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these water also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. In other words, God spoke the world into existence. And now he was going to speak again and the waters are going to come. And he's reminding him of the time of Noah when God had to what? Had to destroy the earth. Okay, one of you are going to have to. Our people are here that use that table. They're always late. Now, so he's reminding them. He says, "By the same word, the present heaven and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." So here's what he's saying. I want to remind you that God made all this. I want to remind you that because of your sin, God wiped it all out. I want to remind you a third time that at the end of time, guess what happens? It's going to get destroyed again by fire. And the fire is going to what? Destroy the world again. Now, so when all these people talk about the world's going to end because of climate control, the world's going to end because of this, the world's going to end because of that, nay, nay. When it ends, it's going to be a fire. The Bible tells us that. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow to keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Okay? So, in the last days, he's told you there's going to be a great what? Fire. Watch me now. There's a great turning away from God. Listen to the scripture. 1 Timothy 4. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits, the things taught by demons. Such teachers are coming from hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. Then he goes on to say in 2 Timothy 3. But mark this. What does mark this mean? Write this down. Pay attention. He says this. In the last days, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Who is he talking to here? He's talking to the church. He's talking to Christians. He's saying in the last days, look at Christians. In other words, instead of making their pleasure all about God, they're making their pleasure all about them. Instead of feeding the Spirit of God in their life, they're feeding those fleshly spirits that still live inside us as believers. So he's telling us in the last days, there's going to be a great turning away, which makes me say this. As semi-strong believers, you say, what does that mean? Well, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I'm not all that strong as a believer. You know, like when you're screaming in my ear at my team, there's a still that small little part of my flesh that wants to say, what? You ain't in Kansas, Toto. But you know what? You can't do that. You have to be able to stop and say, what? No. In other words, I don't want to feed that fleshly nature that's always coming after. You're going to see more about that in a minute. So what is scoffing then? Here's your first fill-in. Scoffing is making fun of someone or what they believe. Scoffing is making fun of someone or what they believe. Or I'm going to add to that, it's an unfounded attack against another person's character. It's an unfounded attack against another person's character. You say, what does that look like? How many times have you talked about somebody to somebody and what you said was kind of negative? When you may not have had all the what? Facts. You may not have had all the facts. So when that time comes, it just says that in the last days, you know what? We're going to be people who do not know how to hold our tongues. I mean, you're there already.
Hey, that was brave for you to say that so close.
I was backpedaling while I said it. Notice. We saw in chapter 2, Peter talked about the return of Christ. Peter motivates believers not just to trust Christ, the Savior, coming back, but he's encouraging them to have wholesome thinking. He said, you need to have wholesome thinking. Okay? What does that mean?
Well, it means you can't act right. You got to be right.
Wholesome thinking. It's not about acting at all.
No,
about what you're thinking.
But what you think is, I mean, that's going to control what you do. And so if you are right, not just acting right, then...
And it means you better be feeding on the right things.
Yep. To have
you better feed the right things. So wholesome thinking is really getting down to what? Changing the way I think and feel. Changing the way I think. Now, my greatest struggle that I face, I'll be real honest with you, is that I am constantly attacked in my mind. Constantly attacked. I get emails from women who want to hook up. I don't open them. I delete them right away. They go to your junk file. All you got to do is get on ESPN and you're going to get emails from people you don't want. It's not that I've been anywhere I shouldn't be. It's just you get it. I just delete them.
Maybe you shouldn't be on ESPN.
You know, that's when the side of me wants to say, woman, go home and bake a cake, you know? Maybe we should, like, eat in one night instead of eating out one night. Valentine's Day is coming up on the 14th. I'm going to take Lynette somewhere where she hasn't been in a long time. It's called our kitchen. Now.
He's cruising.
The neat thing is we're not recording. Yeah, we are recording. Never mind.
I think he's scoffing.
Yeah. There's a scoff for you.
Yeah.
All right, I got up this morning at 3:30 to have my quiet time so I'd be prepared for y'all today. Well, it was like 3:30 in Los Angeles, you know. But I was in the Word this morning, and the Lord gave me a great verse. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this. But now I am fearful, lest that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from wholesome, sincere, and pure devotion to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3. In other words, there's going to be a seduction to try to get control of your what? Of your mind. There's going to be counterfeits that are going to try to get in control of your what? Of your mind. And as I've shared with you before, where's the battle? Where's every one of your battles start? In your own mind. Hey, by the way, we're at your church. We did a banquet last Friday night at the church. Yeah, I walked in there, and Lynette said this was where your church was. And I could feel the ambiance still there of you being there. Now,
sweaty. We had a lot of force there.
No, it was really, that was really kind of cool for me. I said, this is Daryl's old church here, you know, and it's still there. That's really cool, okay?
It's doing some good stuff.
Yeah, really good stuff. By the way, I don't want to embarrass you, But he told me what you, what the church sold that for. Let me explain this to you. When you're making a deal, you don't take the lowest bid coming. You usually take the highest bid coming. But God knew you blessed that church. You all, before you left, blessed that church to where they got into the building for chump change.
When he
God
had
bless
more...
You.
There is a second part of that. The highest bid was well over $100,000 for the other.
I knew.
But it was with a church that was homosexual. They wanted to set a first church up and then spread that church all over the world and other churches just like it. They want to franchise it.
I would ask more money then. No. So he's talking about Old Testament teaching of the Messiah. False prophets love to dwell on the idea that it's not a second coming, because if there was a second coming, he'd certainly be here by now. I mean, it's almost like the Jewish prayer that says this: Lord, Lord, wouldn't this be a good time for Messiah to come back? Well, the answer to that is what? Every time's a good time for the Lord to come back. And you're going to see this next week. I'll give you a little preview. He's not coming back until everyone that God knows is going to be saved is in the kingdom. So doesn't it make sense, if you want the Lord to come back, start winning people as fast as you can to Christ? Let's get to the end. Let's get to where God wants us to be.
Harry, and the way to do that is to pray, 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 pray. Because people who aren't searching, I was one of those, and I didn't go looking for God. God came after me. So pray for your family members that are not searching.
Amen. He speaks of a command given by the Lord, which made me write this down. Which one? And here it is. Here's your fill-in. Peter is speaking of the moral command of the Christian faith. He's speaking of the moral command of the Christian faith. Not just staying sexually pure, but the moral command to do what? What is the moral command that God has given us? What did Christ give us before he left? What is the moral command? We're talking the sex stuff off the table. What is the moral command he has given believers before he left? What is it?
Love one another.
Love. The moral command is to love. We are to love one another. That doesn't mean we enable. That doesn't mean I have to enjoy your sin. We're never going to agree with a church like that, but it doesn't keep me from loving them. It doesn't keep me from sharing truth with them. And so there's a command for us to love. We're commanded to love one another as we wait for Christ to come back. So here's your fill-in. False teachers of that day believed this to be foolish, and they scoffed. They thought this was foolish. Keeping the moral law in today's society is called what? Foolish. It's called narrow-minded. It's called judgmental. That's what it's called today. Now, for us, it's called a command. And this, let me share this with you. The command to love people is a privilege that we have been given by God. It's not just a responsibility, it's a privilege to love people. There's a lot of people I play golf with that are hard to love, but it's a privilege to what? Work at loving them. You know, Blair's going to get baptized this morning. Amen. When Blair came in, can I share with them? Blair came in like a calf looking at a new gate. You know, I'm not sure I buy all this. I'm not sure I'm buying into all this. And we talked for a couple months until we saw God moving into his heart, and he saw the truth was what? Real. Agreed?
Yep.
Agreed. Real. You still got your Bible? Been reading it at all yet?
Yeah.
We're gonna teach how to do that. Okay? Keeping the moral law in today's society, they think we're silly. Okay? Let me throw this in here. We were shocked by the death of Kobe Bryant. I mean, that was a shock to us. Why? Because we don't expect our heroes of athletics to what? To die. It made me stop and say this, though, and I mean this respectfully. I imagine that day he did not even give a thought to the fact that it was the last day he'd be here on earth with his 13-year-old daughter. But they told me he was in church before he got in the helicopter. Took his daughter to church before they got in the helicopter.
Hey, and can I?
Sure, bump in there.
You know, I was raised hardcore Southern Baptist, and we just were taught that Catholics had missed it. But, you know, I don't believe that anymore, because there are a lot of Baptists who've missed it, and there are a lot of Presbyterians and Methodists. But my hope is that because they said he was a devout Catholic, that his faith was in Jesus, not in the traditions and works of the church. Because there are a lot of Southern Baptists that their faith is in, they walked an aisle and said a prayer at 7 years old, and that was not true salvation. So before everybody says, oh, he's Catholic and didn't make it, we don't know that. I'm hoping that he knew the Lord.
Yeah, as I shared with you before, I have a friend that's Catholic that I played golf with growing up. He's a deacon at his Catholic church. This guy knows the Lord. We've talked about the Lord. He can talk to me on a level that a Baptist could talk to me on. Well, you know, a strong Baptist could talk on. But it gets down to this again. This isn't about praying some prayer and I'm in. This is about trusting Christ as Savior. And then I spend the rest of my life with spiritual desires to want to walk with Christ, to be like Christ, to act like Christ.
And if you're not in the Word, then you can have what's the right adjective? Not a mistaken, but
superficiality.
Yeah, and you're not going to look like
big work. Blow that out your tuba, buddy. Way to go.
Hey, but you're not going to.
You're going to have a hard time displaying Christ.
That's okay. There you go.
Is.
And you may follow through with some traditions that are meaningless. Because you don't know why you're doing them. You're just still doing them because your mom and dad did them.
And coming
that's
in
no,
this building does not.
Right. And
okay.
So that's important.
Did you say hi to Rick Dealey?
Hi, Rick Dealey.
He's my chiropractor. He came to see if I was on the straight and narrow and not crooked in my teaching.
He has tried for years and years and years to help Gary, and he's helpful.
The scoffers believe God is unreliable and the earth is doing fine without Jesus coming back. Thank you very much. But here's what they say. They say stuff like this. Well, I believe in God, and I want God to meet every need of my life, but I wish he would just sit back and mind his own business. We're handling this just well without him.
Yep.
No. Who's this wee stuff? Now, here's your fill-in. Again, focus determines reality. We've been camping out on that for the last 3 weeks. Focus determines reality. In other words, whatever you're focused on, that's going to be the reality of your mind at that moment. In other words, if you're focusing on being bitter and hateful, then your mind is going to be, the reality is you're going to be bitter and hateful. If you're focused on being like Christ, then you will have the mind of Christ. So whatever your focus is, it's going to determine your reality. It's going to determine it. Now, the scoffers may not really believe this matters because it really doesn't matter what reality is. I determine my own reality. I determine it. No one else. Because they say no to all this and they scoff at all this because it gets down to this. If we believe he's coming back, if we believe the Lord is coming back, if we believe the earth's going to be judged by fire, if we believe there's going to be a judgment day one day, if we say we believe that, you can't live any way you want. Atheists want to be atheists because if they allow God to be part of their life, then you know what? You'd have to keep God's law. You'd have to keep God's word. So you know what? What do you do? Do away with God. If you do away with God, I can live any way I want. And that's the problem with society today. As much as they say they believe in God, it really gets down to the fact of they want to be able to live any way they want. So notice these things about scoffers. Number one, they're usually cynical about life and people in general. Cynical about life, people in general. Do you see much of that in courtrooms today? being cynical, and everything's about life for this one person, not anyone else. Do you ever see that in the courtrooms?
See that everywhere.
Everywhere.
I find myself being cynical sometimes.
Yeah.
Just with.
See, now that blows my whole opinion. I thought you were going to because your wife's perfect. I just assumed you must be. She's smart enough not to marry someone who wasn't perfect. Listen. You know, when I'm doing this banquet Friday, and the guy gets up, he goes, okay, you got to understand Harry's humor. What did he call it? Do you remember?
Sarcastic.
His humor.
Yeah, because they just didn't look at it.
They didn't get any of the jokes.
I had to say, that's funny. He's trying to make my laugh.
We needed a card.
Yeah. Applause. They blow off any opinion that they don't understand or just they don't care about. Reality is summed up only in what they believe. Number two, they are mostly preoccupied with themselves and their own needs. They're preoccupied with themselves and their own needs, okay? Let me ask you this. Scoffers are preoccupied with their own needs and what they need. Aren't you glad we're not that way? Aren't you so glad that we as believers are not that way, that we're so focused on pleasing God that we very seldom ever talk about what's going on in our world that we don't like? Aren't you glad we're not that way? Would that be, what would that be called? That's sarcasm, yeah. Number three, they always have opinions but are never desiring to be part of the solution. They love to point out the problems, but they're not part of the solution. They're not a part of being right. They love to share what's wrong, but it's never a part of being fixing it. So if you can't fix it or you don't get to control it, you deny it. You just deny it. I love these people that come to me and say this. Hey, I want to talk to you about our youth ministry. And I said, okay. Well, they're doing this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. Have you talked to AJ about it? No, because if I go talk to AJ, he's going to expect me to be involved. Ta-da! Yeah, see, I don't want to be involved. I just want to tell you what's wrong with it. Number four. When I say they deny it, it reminded me of a song.
Not too much of it.
Well, I'm trying to remember the name of the group.
You'll help me because you know all this stuff. But part of the song they said, they swear there is no heaven and they pray there is no hell.
Oh, that's Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Only dying will tell. Either that or Chase. We were Chase, the band, they got in a plane crash, but they were...
I was waiting for her to get up on the table.
Only my God. And when I saw,
Thank you. See, I can't do that because when I start doing that, fat goes everywhere. You know, it's just ugly. They choose number four. Stop it.
This is my wife. You figured that out yet?
Yeah, because he's not usually this nice to anybody.
Number four, they choose to deny God's intervention in past history. Okay? They deny Noah. That didn't happen. The earth was formed in 7 days. No, that didn't happen. You know? Jesus rose from the dead. That's a little skeptical. They deny everything. They deny the work of God through Noah. Okay? Will Rogers once said this. Everyone is ignorant, only in different subjects. Everyone is ignorant, only in different subjects. You know, like for me, dieting. You know, there's one that slipped by me. You know, we're all ignorant about something. The only problem is when you're ignorant and you let everybody know it, that becomes a what? A problem. Some are ignorant because they're unable to learn. Some are ignorant because they refuse to choose to learn. They don't want to learn. We're doing a book called The Circle Maker. We're going to talk about this tonight. I got up early this morning to read that chapter because my wife's teaching on that tonight, and I didn't want to look like I was ignorant. And so they made this statement. Math. Americans score this number in math. The Japanese score a higher number. In this math we score here, the Japanese score a higher number. And what he said in the book was this. It's not because they're smarter than we are. They're more diligent to study where we stop. It's like when I was in seminary. My professor gave me my test back. He goes, you did great. You made an 80. I said, I made 100. He goes, you made an 80. No, I made 100. He goes, how can you say that? I only studied to make an 80. But you know what I've learned? I've learned this. That when I'm more diligent in studying, these lessons turn out better.
Well, and define diligent. They watched these groups of students, and the little Japanese students just stayed at it like 4.5 minutes longer than these. And so, the point he's making, we're talking about prayer, is that many of us don't get our prayers answered because we give up. We quit.
Yeah, how many times have you been trusting God and you just stopped too soon? You stopped. Instead of what? It didn't come as fast as I wanted to. Because he's going to go on to say, 1,000 years is like a day. A day is like 1,000 years. Well, there's no timetable with God. Now, today's society, the scoffers refuse to listen and obey the word of God and call it irrelevant to today's society. Peter reminds us the importance of love those who scoff at the truth because of what? Judgment is a sure thing and it's coming sooner than you might think. There's your fill-in. In other words, why do we love the lost world? Because judgment's coming. And it's on its way. It's coming. So those people that you care the most about, you can't give up just because they say, I'm not interested. You got to keep firing at them in a loving way of sharing with them and showing them the love of God, not just beating them to death with the love of God. Jump in.
You got to say, though, it may not be that you need to say anything at all to them.
Sometimes.
You may have said all that you need to say, and you need to be quiet.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. In other words, you got to know when to talk and when not to talk. When to open your mouth, when not to. But you don't have a choice on showing them Christ every time you're around these people by the way we act, by the way we think, by the way we do what we do.
If you're quiet, you're only quiet to them, you're not quiet to God. You're praying. Harder than ever.
God's delay in coming judgment is not caused by his inability to perform or his indifference to man's sin. God is prompted by his grace and love. So, if God wanted to just end this tomorrow, he could. But what prompts him? He has not run out of grace yet. He's not run out of love yet. And grace is available to us when we need these things. Number 5, scoffers can also be interpreted as mockers. Could be the same word as mockers. They ridicule the rottenness of their life and the tongues are expressed without knowing real truth or without knowing God's will. Without knowing truth, without knowing God's will. So, according to Peter, they walk after their own evil desires. They walk after their own evil desires. Did I miss one? You're looking like I missed one. Okay? In the day of Noah, man died because of what? Why did men die in Noah's day?
Unbelief.
Unbelief plays in, but there's another key word here. What is it? Ignorance. Their refusal to trust and believe what he said. And because of their unbelief. So everyone who goes to hell today is going because of their own what? Unbelief. I'm not trusting that Christ has done this. I'm not trusting what Christ says here. It's my own unbelief. Okay? Now, he gives two important facts about God and the return of Christ. One is this. God's word is true. Well, I just don't believe that. No matter what you believe, it isn't going to change what's true.
That's right. You know what I found interesting when we were in Thailand, and the people that I, the women that I was able to interact with, whenever I would tell them about the Lord, and they were Buddhist to the core, I mean, to the core. And if I spoke to them about the Lord, they believed me. They believed everything that we told them was true. And it just blew our minds, but they did. So fast forward to now with what we do out on the street, and those people don't believe it's true. It just...
Well, but again, it goes back to what I said earlier. We cannot acknowledge this is true, because if we acknowledge it's true, we're going to have to change the way we live.
Yes.
We're going to have to change our lifestyle.
Wait a minute, Jan. Are you saying they believed and...
No.
They stayed in their lifestyle.
The Buddhists. In Thailand?
Right.
Yes, but they believed us. They did. And they would weep, and it would torture them. But there's a whole story behind why. But they believed us. And so now we tell them, and they don't. It's like somebody looking at you going,
yeah, they have so good.
And part of it is because they don't want to change their lifestyle, or they think they can't change their lifestyle, which goes back to what you were talking earlier, what goes on in your mind and what has been there for so long that the enemy has planted.
Or you're going to be alienated from people you care about or people you love, because they're going to alienate you because of what you believe. In other words, I went through a little bit of that when people were saying to me, "How can you? You're not Catholic anymore? You know, you're going to hell." And I went, "No, I'm really not. You know, I'm really not. Would you like to know what the truth is? You know, would you like to know what the truth is?" And so, all you can do is this. Man has a free will to reject God's truth, but God's truth in the end is going to show itself true. God's going to show himself true. So here's your fill-in. Peter exhorts the believer to trust the truth and to live out what's true. Trust what's true, live out what's true. The word shines in darkest places on earth, and it can be relied on even when life's answers are slow in coming. So let me tell you a story. I got a guy... that I've spent time with. You would consider him a pretty good businessman. He works hard. He takes care of his family. He provides for his family. He would be a person that you would look up to in society. He plays golf, which means he has to know God.
That was sarcasm, right?
Sarcasm. No. Now, but he said this to me. He goes, "Okay, listen. I mean, this is a businessman." And he goes, "But I like smoking pot."
That makes for an interesting call.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hit that one a little higher, you know. He likes to smoke pot. So in talking to him, I was able to expose the motive. I said, "Do you have a medical marijuana card?" He goes, No. Are you doing this because there's something physically wrong with you? Oh, no. So is this a selfish issue and you're just doing this because you like the buzz? And he goes, "Yes, I enjoy the buzz." Okay, that's okay.
There's
now,
really not a buzz.
I don't know. I wouldn't know. I didn't live in your ungodly world. I was in the sex and gambling, not the drug thing like you were. And so... So I said this to him. I said, "You have a one-year-old daughter, right?" He goes, "Yeah." "All right, she's now 16. She wants to smoke pot so she can have a buzz. How are you going to respond?" He goes, "Oh, I'm going to get angry." Who trained her? You did. Who trained her? You did. So let me ask you this. If you want to be what God wants you to be, should you not start being an example to your daughter at age 1 and not wait till she's 18 to tell her that you wish you hadn't done the things you had done when you were ignorant to what God said was true and you just lived any way you want? And he looked at me and he goes, "You know, I hate it when you do that." "Why?" "Because I know you're right. I just like it." I like it. Well, that's the whole point. I mean, that's the whole point. The evil desires that we have in our mind is because I think there's a part of us that like that. Number two, God's word is consistent. Not only is it true, it's consistent. He speaks of his first coming, the second coming, the flood, and they all scoff at this. And they said stuff like this: if you are the Son of God, then come down from the cross. You know? Funny thing about scoffers, they're given great deal of evidence. They simply what? Ignore it, because it doesn't disturb them. Why? Because they have their own agendas. Listen, before I became a Christian, I had my own agenda. And what I did that the world calls sin today was not sin to me. Oh, you know, probably wasn't the best thing to do, but it wasn't sin to me because, you know what? Everybody was doing this and I liked it. But once I saw what truth was, once I received Christ into my heart as my Savior, my whole thought pattern changed. My idea of what sin is changed. And I had to be able to do away with the stuff that caused me to move away from God instead of move me closer to God. And remember what I said earlier. The devil, what did I say to you? Listen to me. The serpent's going to beguile you by cunning so that your mind may be corrupted, seduced from wholesome, sincere, pure devotion to God. There is a seduction with sin toward the church today to draw us away. See, Satan cannot destroy the church, so he's got to corrupt it. He's got to corrupt it. And he starts with who? The weak and the strong. He doesn't care which one of us he gets, but he wants us. Now, let me go on. Several things we got to do. We must be believers with pure motives, okay? Lover of God more than lover of stuff. Givers of life, not lovers of money. Although money's a nice thing to have occasionally. We must remain humble and dependent on God. Okay, what did I say our theme was this year? God's pleasure, not mine. Say it with me. God's pleasure, not mine. Say it again. God's pleasure, not mine. But that doesn't mean you can't go out and play golf. It doesn't mean you can't go out and do the stuff you enjoy doing. As long as my focus is on what I'm doing is really honoring God and doing it the right way. There's been a number of times, watch this, and no fooling around on this. There's been a number of times I've had to put the golf clubs up. Why? Because it came more important than what I was doing. More important than what I should be doing. Don't you see? God's always making those changes. Here's the next one. It's not about me overcoming in my strength. And I've been sharing with this the last couple weeks. The whole point is this. You cannot be an overcomer unless you are partnering with God every single day in your life to become a warrior and an overcomer. If you think you're going to go out there and do this on your own, you're going to fall on your face, because if you're on your own, the enemy knows it and he's going to come after you. If you're walking with God, he's still going to come after you, but now you're strong enough to say what? No. No.
And you have weapons.
Yes. He says the grace of God. When he talked about the grace of God, listen to this definition. The unmerited favor and merciful kindness in which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps them, strengthens them, and increases them. Not only do we come to Christ, but God's big enough to keep you there and to strengthen you there and to walk you through life together as you guys learn to partner with God. You with me? Now, we must increase, there's your fill-in, our love and establish the habit of having forgiving hearts. We must learn to want good more than evil, and it starts by what? Learning how to forgive. Learning how to be a forgiver. The conflicts will be that scoffers will not even answer what's coming up as long as you disagree with them. So, the result. God will make us to be steadfast and to establish us. He's going to make us steadfast, establish us. So what's the point? God's always working. He's always working. You know, this morning, the thing that really spoke to me when God gave me that verse is this. You know how you feel bad when you have thoughts that go through your head that are bad? Anybody like that? Feel bad? Well, all of a sudden, it was like, oh, yeah, by the way, the enemy is going to attack your mind. He's going to bring delusions. He's going to bring all this junk. All this junk is an attack. Now let me strengthen you.
And once I got into Word this morning and started praying and started seeing what was going on, all of a sudden the thoughts were changed with the godly thoughts of, hey, God's working. God's working. And if the enemies want to attack me, I must be doing something right. Somewhere. If the enemy's attacking you, you're doing something right. Because if you were both going in the same direction, he'd never bother you. Why would he? Final thoughts real quick, and then Lynette's going to come. Guard your tongue and your personal opinions and criticisms without having facts. Guard your tongue until you have all the facts. You know, here is Kobe in heaven today? I don't know. I never hung out with him. But you know something? Something's going on in his heart. I mean, if you're getting ready to go to a game and you go to church first, something's going on. Let's hope what's going on, though, is he came to know the Lord. Watch this. There's people in this room today. Something's going on in your heart because you do not yet know Christ as Savior. You got all the intellectual knowledge about him, but you don't know him. If you know facts, make sure your tongue speaks the love of God to encourage those who are listening. You have to learn to be an encourager. An encourager. And I've shared this with you before, I shared it the other night. Lynette, as much as she dogs me,
encourages. That's my spiritual gift.
I know. She's awesome. Encouraging sometimes. Like the other day, Cam, she looked at me, she goes, you know, you don't sweat a lot for a fat guy. You know, that meant a lot to me.
Encourage somebody. Remember, number three, God's will is merciful. It's merciful. So, final thought. Look at me. Success is determined by perseverance and not giving up. Perseverance, not giving up. You want to know how successful you are? Show me how you're persevering. You want to know how successful you are? Show me how you're walking with God as best you can. You want to win the war? Show me you're a warrior. Show me you're willing to do the things you have to do. And when those times comes where your mind gets flooded with all the junky stuff, learn how to go to God and learn how to pray and learn how to focus on Him. Focus determines your reality. Change your focus. Amen?
Okay.
I'm going to slip out.
Okay, we wanted to do the interview, but Harry wasn't sure we'd have time. Janet, come here. Come on. That was perfect that you answered it because we already had your name, didn't we, Kim? Okay, so for those of you